Grace and peace be to you in the name of Jesus.
How's this now? Is that better? Okay. Could be that my batteries have died. If so, I'll use this pulpit mic for now. The point is, Jesus, at the center of everything. He is the one to whom we come and from whom we go. He is the one who gives us life and salvation and reminds us that everything comes to him in the end. Everything and everyone will worship him eventually. It's Jesus that is at the center of our reading today. And as I mentioned, instead of using the psalm and the title then, which was Prayers for Days, instead of those particulars, it is the gospel, this Mark, this first chapter of Mark, that I'm so focused on today, thinking so much especially about Jesus' words at the very end in verse 15. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is our text. About 2 weeks ago, we had a meeting in my living room. It happened to be in my living room because Andrea was in New Brunswick visiting her mom. We were talking about the process of calling another pastor. And as we discussed the team of leaders that had gathered there that evening, we talked about the differences and the particularities of Grace Lutheran Church at this time as that we're calling. And the question came in the course of the discussion, in the course of the conversation, what is it that's different around here? And then people looked at me. And so I did my best to articulate what I think the difference is lately. Now, it was because of what I said there that night, and actually because what Robert Tiedemann had identified, he said, you need to say this in a sermon sometime. And so this is the answer to that request. Unfortunately, Robert wasn't here in this morning's service, nor is he here right now, but he'll perhaps hear, and maybe if it isn't altogether clear, you can ask him what he heard that night. As I strive to articulate the difference with which we view things these days, the future of our ministry together at Grace Lutheran Church, it's just this. There was a time that I believed that church was the highest ideal, that church was the epitome of what we would be striving to make, that it was fundamental and also lofty to build a church together. These days, I believe that the church's mission is even more fundamental than her existence. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that instead of church being fundamental and mission being one of those things which she does, mission has always been God's baseline, God's heart. The fundamental mode of his work in the world is as a missionary. And church is one of those things which he uses to accomplish that goal. In other words, it's like I had things upside down, and perhaps you have had them upside down too. If church is the goal, if we are to build it and then perhaps hope that someone will come, then we may have things upside down. If church is the highest ideal and mission work is one of the categories, one of the checkboxes, one of the activities that we spend our resources and energy on, maybe those need to be flipped. Maybe we begin to see mission as something that God has always been doing and will continue to do for all eternity, and church, even our very existence as a church, as one of the modes in which to accomplish his mission. So that's what I said on that Monday night a couple of weeks ago. At least that's as best as I can remember it. I probably spoke a little bit differently because we were in the living room. And there's something to that, isn't there? That when you speak in a living room, it's different than when you speak in the sanctuary. Hold on to that thought because we're going to come back to it. But this is what I'm trying to teach. And this is what I believe that Jesus invites us to see as he steps onto the scene in Mark chapter 1 and begins to work. After he has been baptized, after he has been tempted, after he has passed the test himself, he begins to launch into his public ministry, and he says the very first thing, The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe. These are the two actions. These are the two responses that God's people are called to. So what is this repentance and this belief? What is the good news that keeps us going forward? Let me try and put it in language that is simple and colorful. It was shared with me in the last couple years, this little parable, a contemporary parable, one that speaks to the life of God's church and the continuing life of God's mission in the world. Let me just read the parable and give it to you as an offering today. On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occur, there was once a crude little life-saving station. The building was just a hut and there was only one boat, but the few devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea with no thought for themselves, and they went out day and night tirelessly searching for the lost. Many lives were saved by this wonderful little station, so that it became famous. Some of those who were saved and various others in the surrounding areas wanted to become associated with the station and give of their time and money and effort for the support of its work. New boats were bought and new crews were trained, and the little life-saving station grew. Some of the new members of the life-saving station were unhappy that the building was so crude and so poorly equipped. They felt that a more comfortable place should be provided as the first refuge of those saved from the sea. So they replaced the emergency cots with beds and put better furniture in an enlarged building. Now the life-saving station became a popular gathering place for its members, and they redecorated it beautifully and furnished it as a sort of a club. Less of the members were now interested in going to sea on life-saving missions, so they hired lifeboat crews to do this work. The mission of life-saving was still given lip service, but most were too busy or lacked the necessary commitment to take part in the actual life-saving activities. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought in boatloads of cold, wet, and half-drowned people. They were dirty and sick, and some spoke a strange language, and the beautiful new club was considerably messed up. So the property committee immediately had a shower house built outside the club where victims of shipwreck could be cleaned up before coming inside. At the next meeting, there was a split in club membership. Most of the members wanted to stop the life-saving activities of the club as being unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal life pattern of club members. But some members insisted that life-saving was their primary purpose and pointed out that they were still called a life-saving station. But those were finally voted down and told that if they wanted to save the life of all kinds of various people who were shipwrecked in those waters, they could begin their own life-saving station down the coast. And they did. As the years went by, the new station experienced the same changes that occurred in the old station. They evolved into a club, and yet another life-saving station was founded. Now, if you visit that seacoast today, you will find a number of exclusive clubs along that shore. Shipwrecks are still frequent in those waters, but now most of the people drown. This little parable, with its grim ending, was written by someone who has been watching the church. It was written by someone who cares deeply about the work of God in the world. And it was written by someone who believes that we as God's people and perhaps those who build churches need to be reminded what it was that we started here. I bring this parable in front of us today because Lent is a time for repentance and belief. Repent and believe, Jesus invites us. Repent and believe. What is it that we might repent from? And what is it that we might believe? Do you know that at the early stage of Grace Lutheran Church, back before we had a building of our own, there were actually four projects that were going on in various quadrants of the city where people from Grace Lutheran would go out and teach Sunday school. Did you know this? If you read the history of Grace Lutheran Church, you'll find this part of this chapter of our history. Those four little projects, they became Sunday school projects, teaching times. And the details of those, you can probably ask around and find someone who remembers or who maybe knows where the history is. Those four Sunday school projects, itinerant ministries, I call them, they resulted in two other congregations which are still running in the city, Bethlehem Lutheran Church and Redeemer Lutheran Church, which were daughter churches of Grace Lutheran Church before Grace Lutheran Church had her building of her own. I often think of that part of our history as one of the best models of mission trumping church. Do we think primarily about what we are here for in the community, the blessing we can be to people in Edmonton, the ministry of Jesus changing lives? Can we return to seeing this as our primary purpose? Saving lives, this is really the work of Jesus, isn't it? As he came onto the scene, Jesus didn't launch into a public ministry because he wanted to give people a few tips. How to avoid the worst ways of messing up your life. No, Jesus launched into a public ministry because he had the answer, the life and the death answer that we all need. Jesus is the center of everything. I keep coming back to this thought. And people need to know his saving love. His saving love, which is the center of our foundation here, which is the reason we've gathered as a church. People need to hear that he gave his life for us, that he died on the cross, suffering worse than we could ever imagine, opening the way to eternal life. People need to know this. And dear friends, the hard reality for us who have grown up in the church is that many will simply not come here. In the past, there have been decades where people came to church and maybe were curious. And so you could build a church and then you could expect people to come. But the sad and the hard reality in 2018 is that there are many, there are thousands. In fact, I would guess there are hundreds of thousands in our city that just would never think of coming to a church. It just doesn't register for them. How will their lives be saved? How will they hear the words of life that Jesus speaks through his people? Well, they won't unless we go. They won't hear simply unless we go. So Jesus comes onto the scene and he launches into his public ministry, and his first two words are, repent and believe. Dear friends, this is what I'm inviting us to do, both individually and corporately, to repent and to believe. On the one hand, we look at what has not worked and we bring that to our Lord and we say, show us another way. We relinquish. We allow it to be trimmed from our lives. We repent. We humble ourselves and we ask God to forgive us. On the other hand, we believe. We believe, and this is where the good news is. You see, dear friends, Jesus has not changed. He is not weaker or less effective in 2018 as he was when he was walking the earth with his disciples. He is just as much of a leader and just as vibrant in our community as he always has been. And so can we believe as well that Jesus is Lord here in this neighborhood, in this corner of the city? I mentioned at the first service that I feel as though I'm ruffling some feathers. If I haven't ruffled feathers, then I haven't hit my mark today. So if you're feeling ruffled a little bit, then I'm pleased. Not because my intent is to make you awkward or uncomfortable, but because I believe God's word sometimes needs to make us awkward and uncomfortable for us to have new life, for us to move according to the action of faith, and for us to trust that he is doing a new thing even here. So what, you might be wondering? So what? What are we supposed to do differently? A couple of concrete suggestions. So home Bible study. Since April last year, we've been thinking together about home Bible study. Why? Not because we don't just want Bible study to happen everywhere. but because we believe, and Grace believes, that if we nurture groups within the living rooms of our homes, we will be multiplying God's ministry throughout the city. You come from various places in Edmonton, and if you were to gather someone or maybe a group of people in your living room and talk with them the way that living room talk goes, that would be a way that Jesus' life could be multiplied in and through you. It doesn't just have to happen in the sanctuaries of our churches. It can happen in the living rooms of our lives and wherever we go. So, home Bible study or simply home groups. Think about whether you might join a group or gather a group in your own living room. And if you want details on that, if you want strategy, if you'd like support or find out just something more about home groups, then talk to me about that, please. So what, you might be wondering. So what do we do differently? So how do we think now? So neighborhood. Neighborhood. This is a huge category of discussion and conversation among Edmontonians today. Neighborhood. What is a neighborhood? What makes a neighborhood? Who belongs in it? And how does it operate? I want to invite you to engage with your neighborhood, engage with your community league. We have these things in Edmonton called community leagues. They're unique and they're beautiful. Find out what people are interested in. Go and meet some people in your neighborhood that have no connection to church and find out what their lives are all about. And then learn to cultivate some of those shared interests and share your life with the people in your neighborhood. So what, you might be wondering? So what? Well, this is where it really becomes life and death, I believe. And what I'd like to share with you is out of love for this place. Because it occurs to me, so what about Grace Lutheran Church? Perhaps there are those of us who have grown up here, who have come here, and who are regular attenders, who think Grace Lutheran Church is and was and always will be. Unfortunately, only Jesus is and was and only will be. Grace Lutheran depends on him. And so lest we think of this church as an immovable, permanent, eternal fixture, let's remember why we're here. I want for Grace Lutheran to remain for another 100 years, for another 200 years. I want for this place to be an outpost of ministry in this neighborhood forever. But it will only be so if that ministry continues. If we slide and drift into being a club, satisfying our own self-interests, taking care of our members, but not really thinking about our purpose, then Grace Lutheran may become a monument to ministry done in years past, a memory of something that some other people did. And like many other churches have before us, this place could become a thing of the past. But don't worry, Jesus is and was and always will be. This is the good news that even cuts through the grim realities of our temporariness. Jesus, the one who was and who is and who is to come, he is still at work, dear friends. He has us in the palm of his hands, and if we listen to his voice and if we have faith to repent and believe in his word, then his name and his love will continue to be glorified and multiplied here forever. May his kingdom, which he announced, be fulfilled here. And may his people, you and I, which he calls, hear and act with obedience at the sound of his voice. Amen. And now may the peace which comes from knowing our Lord Jesus invite you and I into a continuing and lasting relationship with him, one that goes forever into eternity. Amen.